famous Phil Hendry Show.
Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, for our daily video PhilCast. Go to our website for our daily unedited after-show vlog, where we kind of review the show and get things off our chest, unedited fashion. And also for Phil's Uncensored podcast, backed by popular demand. That's all there at philhenryshow.com. Coming up this segment, we're going to have The World According To. We'll have one of our listeners weigh in on an issue that is of importance to him. And listen to the average man's take on how this world is moving along. We still have our Dr. Green Thumb report to get to, and anything we don't get to, we get to at the end of the show, called the Stories We Didn't Get To segment. That's our way of, you know what it is.
Stand over here and let me smell each one of you.
Thank you. Now, Sean is in Phoenix, listening to us on KTAR this evening. Hello, Sean. Thanks for hanging on, man.
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was thinking about the topic of the day, what we should rename the Republican and Democratic parties or what have you.
Yeah, instead of calling them parties, yeah. What's a good word to replace a party?
I was thinking the Republican and Democratic Fraternities of America. I mean, because who throws a better party, you know?
Yeah, but see, my whole thing is that they're not a party. They are, you know, being associated with either one of them, being associated with any party, Communist Party, Nazi Party, it's a drag, you know, just a drag.
When I heard you talk about referring to them as bacterious infections,
yes.
that blew mine out of the water, you know?
Well, I mean, I think we need to really call them what they are. I mean, maybe there was a time when they were good guys, and maybe there was a time when factionalism actually worked, maybe for about 10 years, but they have slowed down the process of writing our country. They're not patriotic. They're like, it's like gonorrhea or something, man. It's just no party. I mean, you go to a party, and maybe you meet a good-looking girl, and you marry her, and you have kids, right? You go to the Republican or the Democratic Party, and you come down with, like, an STD of the brain. You know, you come down with just a raving, flaming infection of everything. You know what it is? It's like being mauled by a chimpanzee or something. It's like going to the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. You might as well just suck a banana out of the face of a chimpanzee and hope for the best. Hey, listen, Sean, thanks so much for your call tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We do have a Margaret Gray on the line.
Yeah, all right, line number two.
Margaret, yes?
Phil, I was called away from where we're entertaining this evening, and I heard one of your callers. I usually don't call talk shows unless I am the guest who's been invited. I've been on your program quite frequently as a guest, as you know.
Yes.
But I was entertaining a few people in this evening. I had it on in the background, and I, to be honest with you, Phil, I really was that much enamored of the conversation. But I caught one of your callers mockingly referring to a conversation I had with you not too long ago having to do with this terrible, terrible episode with the chimpanzee in Connecticut.
Well, he used the word chimpanzee.
No, I heard what he said. He was mocking me because he said chimpanzee. And now I understand his name is Randolph. And I would say to Randolph the following. If you know anything about the French language, you know that it is pronounced chimpanzee or chimpanzee. You know that.
I don't know that. That's what you claim.
I was on your program. Oh, God. I don't want to yell. I've got guests in this evening. I'm entertaining. I was on your program, Phil, and I told you chimpanzee. You know where France is, don't you?
What has that got to do with America and the way that we colloquially pronounce chimpanzee?
It has everything to do with America because we are trying desperately to pull our children out of the swamp of ignorance that they are currently in. Thank you very much, George Bush.
Oh, come on, will you? Do we got to go down that road again?
No, thank you very much, George Bush. It is because of that, Phil, if you'll let me speak.
Just this endless bashing of Bush about every problem we've ever had.
If you'll let me speak. Because of that man, we've got thousands, if not millions, of young people, yes, leaving high school and saying, oh, I want to go see the chimpanzee. If President Obama had been president, the last 8 years...
We'd have a generation of kids saying chimpanzee?
I guess you think you're funny. Is that it?
Margaret.
No, do you think you're funny? Do you think that you're getting the better of me by you? You know what, Phil? You and your listener, Randolph, I can only hope and I can only pray that some night you wake up and you find a chimpanzee in your pajama bottoms. Thank you and good night.
God, she is vicious.
Where are you? You started on a chimpanzee.
Oh, all of a sudden you're saying chimpanzee, huh? Chimpanzee. She is vicious. If I wake up with a chimpanzee in my pajama bottoms...
You shouldn't have said on account of what you did.
Hey, bud, I got a great idea, man. Have you ever heard of the English language?
Yeah.
It's really cool. A lot of people speak it, and you can too. All you have to do is, like, sit down and read about it, and that way I'll be able to understand what you're saying.
I don't get it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here, man. Time for our World According To here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. With us tonight on the World According To is a nice man by the name of Don Parsley. And we have Don with us. He is in Cincinnati, Ohio. Don, wait a minute. Do we still have Margaret's lineup? I don't want to listen to her party, okay? I don't care how many... Don, are you there?
Hi, Mr. Henry.
Okay, Don. I got you. Welcome to our program, sir.
Well, I'm very happy to be on your show. I hope I can contribute something.
Well, Don, I wanted to talk to you tonight, and you were amenable to this. The recession is hurting a lot of families, and I know it's hurting your family.
Yes, it is.
And I know that there are issues of unemployment in your family. I know there are issues, in fact, of where you're going to live and how you're going to live. And as part of our World According To, I wanted to get a man on the line, such as yourself, who could relate to us how you're surviving and what it is that we might learn from your experience and perhaps do something to help you.
Well, I appreciate that a lot, Mr. Henry. My story is a simple one. I worked for one of the rubber plants, the tire companies in Akron, and we got laid off, and at the same time, my wife came down with severe pneumonia because of the winter. It's been very cold, and I was not able to afford heat for the home. And my daughter also was sick, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I've applied for unemployment, but I don't know whether that's going to happen or not.
Well, you were laid off, right?
I was fired, yeah.
Well, then you're entitled to unemployment.
Yes, I am, but you know that you can't live on that. I've got a house payment to make. I've got my wife's funeral.
Did your wife die, sir?
Say that again, please.
Did your wife die?
Yes, she did. She died. And
because you indicated that she had pneumonia.
Yes, she did have pneumonia, and then... She passed on last week, and obviously you have to pay for the funeral.
I had no idea. I'm awfully sorry. I thought that you said that your wife was sick and your daughter was sick.
My daughter is sick. She's sick. My wife was sick, and then my wife died. And we just live in a little apartment. I don't have nothing for the girl, and there's no food.
Now, do you own your own home, or do you live in an apartment?
No, I have an apartment.
Because you indicated a minute ago, and maybe I'm mishearing.
No, I said our home, but my home is my apartment.
So you're renting?
Yes, we're renting.
So you don't have a mortgage? I thought you mentioned that you had a mortgage.
No, I said the home payment, but that's what I would say about a rental payment. But the thing that I was interested in to come on your show is to just tell you about it and tell people to... You can get through it. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I know everybody else can get through it. I would love to be able to feed my son, but I can barely afford it. My son works over at the, burger stand and everything. He got fired, too, but he used to bring...
Now, you how many children do you have?
I just had my... Well, I have a daughter, and I have a son, too.
You have two children?
Yes, I do. I have two. And I forgot to mention, I have a son and my daughter and my wife. And You imagine four people living in a...
Well, you said that your wife was dead.
My wife is dead, sir, and I don't know why you're bringing that up.
You said that the four of you were living in an apartment.
We were living in an apartment is what I'm... Look, I don't... All I came on your program to say... I've been very traumatized by losing my job in a recession.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
I just want to say that I'm traumatized, and so I'm not thinking clearly.
Look, I hold on for a minute. You talked to this man?
Yeah, I talked to him. It's bad.
I talked to a guy named Bob Dickman, and he told me that it would be good to come on the program.
No, my name's Bud. I'm the guy you talked to.
Yeah, that's the voice. I remember that voice.
Yeah, his name's Bud, and your name is Don Parsley.
Yeah.
And you have a wife, or is your wife dead?
I told you my wife died, and my son has pneumonia. I mean, okay.
Yeah, see, you said your daughter had pneumonia, didn't you?
Sir?
You said your daughter had pneumonia, didn't you, sir?
I said that my daughter has pneumonia and my son has pneumonia, too. You don't understand what it's like living in Cincinnati, Ohio, where there's no...
Sir, I'm just asking you what the facts are so that maybe we can help you.
All right. I told you I'm traumatized, and I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And you said that you want to help me. I would like to talk about that. I know that I sound... like I don't know what's going on.
Well, if you got a wife, she's dead.
My wife died, and I wish you wouldn't. I was able to forget about it, and you continue to remind me of it.
All right, but you told me what? All right, and you got a daughter, and you have a son.
Yes.
And who works at the burger stand?
Who does what?
Who works at the burger stand?
Sir, I've lost my job. For you to raise your voice with me.
No, sir, I'm sorry to raise my voice. Who works at the burger stand?
My daughter does.
No, you said your son.
No, I didn't. I know I said my daughter.
No, you said your son works at the burger stand, and both your son and your daughter have pneumonia. All right, look, maybe you are traumatized. Maybe you can't remember. Tell me what it is that you want from us.
I don't want anything. Now I don't want anything. I did want to have something, but because you have decided to humiliate me like this.
Look, Don, I'm not trying to humiliate you. I'm trying to get the straight story out of you. First you had a wife that was alive, then she died.
No, yes, she was alive, and then she died. Hey, give the man a cigar. Before you die, you can be alive.
No, you indicated that she was alive, and then she died. You said first she's alive, then she's dead.
Yeah, that's right. First you're alive, and then you die.
No, you said first to me that your wife was alive. Then you said you had to pay for her funeral.
I said I had to pay for my daughter's. Yes, I have to pay for my wife's funeral and my daughter's funeral.
So now your daughter's dead.
I said my daughter was dead. I said my son.
Your story's not adding up. I had you on the program here tonight.
I guess you want me to commit suicide, is that it?
No, hey. Hold on, okay?
Well, the more you press me on these matters, the more I just wish I had some money.
All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, okay?
Yeah.
If you can tell me where I can wire the money off air, I'll wire you $100. And I hope that'll get groceries for you and your son and your daughter.
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Did you hear what I said?
I heard what you said. And I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth. I was hoping... if you could double that, that would be...
Oh, you want $200?
No, I don't want $200. I'd like more, but I'm hoping that in light of the fact that you traumatized me, that you'd give me...
more money?
Well, I thought I'd get maybe $1,000 or so. I don't know. Forget it. I don't want any money now.
Mr. Parsley, are you telling me the truth about your life condition?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I know I made a mistake. My son works at the burger stand. He also has pneumonia, and my daughter does too, and my wife does too. And my wife is dead.
Yeah, okay. Hang on the line, man, and we'll wire that $100.
Oh, what a cheap creep.
How do you like that guy?
Well, he assured me that he was starving to death and everything. I can assure you that he assured me.
Hey, Bud, the next time I say I want to have a guy on that's suffering the effects of the recession, let me talk to him before we go on the air, okay? What did that guy tell you?
He said that his wife was going to die of pneumonia, but he asked me, would it be better if she was dead or alive? And I said, well, probably dead, and he forgot.
He forgot? Well, what did you guys do, script this thing?
Get out of here with that.
What are you doing with that?
I'm going to wire him $100.
Give me that. Pull that out of my wallet. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. That's fantastic. And between him and the chimpanzee, you can't go wrong, man. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Phil.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, get out, in the name of Jesus, right now, I command you to leave this cell, in the name of Jesus. You have no power here, you have no glory here, in the name of Jesus.
And then they asked the kid, are you still gay? And he said,
from a fashion viewpoint, Michelle Obama looks so comfortable.
So it didn't really take. Now, Doug Danger is on the line with us here from the Orange County Courier. I'm kidding around with that, Doug. And welcome to the show, Doug.
Obviously, you're kidding around. That was Tim Gunn. That was not that kid, and I want people to understand that. I think you need to make that clear.
I think people know that wasn't the kid. That's just a joke that I was throwing in.
I understand your sense of humor. First of all, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil, as you indicated to your audience. And because I'm gay and I've been out of the closet for 3 weeks and I've traveled that road that so many of these young people have not traveled, I can understand how things get miscommunicated and how things are not as clear as they ought to be. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, what you heard there, and first of all, I'd like to know, where did you get that audio? Because I thought I was on top of this story. This is going to be part of my column tomorrow.
We had this audio. We got this off the audio feed from somewhere.
Well, I'm going to be ripping the lid off of this tomorrow in my column because I've written a column about this very thing. And I am going to tell you, and I know a lot of people think this is going to be controversial, but that's why I do what I do. I'm a gay man and a gay jerk. Everybody talks about Perez Hilton this and Perez Hilton that, and I'm getting a little tired that a mincing, you know, a mincing pink-shoed guy like that, he gets all the publicity. I'm gay, but see, I write about substantive problems. I don't mince after will I am. I'm not swishing my way to fame. I'm doing it I'm doing it the gay way, but not his way. I do it my way, and I do it the gay way. Now, I'm writing a column. It has been filed. It'll be in the paper tomorrow, and I'm telling you now, and I know a lot of people think this is controversial, I don't think that is real. I don't think you can pull the gay demon out like that.
Well, what's controversial? I don't think anybody buys that.
Excuse me. Yes, they do. I think there's a lot of people that think you can drive a gay demon out. I do not. I think the gay demon stays.
And do you believe there's a gay demon?
Not a real gay demon, but I'm saying every gay knows that there's a gay, what we call a gay geist. You've heard of poltergeist, right?
Yeah.
Well, we call it a gay geist. Now, we don't really believe in miniature gay ghosts, but we call it the gay geist because there are days when you feel like you've been possessed and all you want is some tall 55-year-old black woman in a purple robe to stand over you and just, you know, whisper sweet nothings in your ear or whatever they do. But I don't believe it's possible, and that's what I wrote about, and I know it'll be controversial.
I got to tell you something, Doug. I don't think anybody hears that and thinks that's possible, that you're going to drive the... And what do you mean a gay geist?
It's just a euphemism. I'll give you an example. I don't believe in ghosts, but if there are ghosts, well, some of them got to be gay. Would you agree that there's got to be a gay ghost?
Yeah.
All right. Like, for instance, if Casper the Friendly Ghost was a real ghost, even though Casper's a little boy, I think that was a little boy who was a gay little boy. And so that's a little gay ghost. Do I believe in ghosts? No, I don't. If they existed, would they inhabit gays? Probably. Can you drive them out with an old lady with her hair done real funky. And, you know, you're in a church that's out under some willow trees and it's about 150 degrees inside. No, I don't think so. So that's what my... And you're trying to tell me that that's not controversial.
No, that's not controversial. Everybody that listened to that audio knows it's bullcrap.
Well, you're wrong. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And when they read my column tomorrow, they'll go, aha, Doug Danger, he nailed it. He's nailing that gay... He nailed the gay go shut in the gay... back in its gay closet, because it doesn't exist. Read my column tomorrow, Phil, Orange County Courier. I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journal.
Gay man and gay journal.
You heard me.
Phil. I didn't hear you, man.
Gay man and gay journalist. I don't stutter.
Phil, we got a story about Transformers, the film that's coming out, and the fact that there are people who saw the film last night when it opened and didn't like some of the characters, to wit, specifically, some of the robots seem, quote, racist. Well, what they mean by that, they mean racist, but in fact, what these characters are, they're black characters, they're black robots. They're urban black robots. They're jive, they're you know, urban, they're hip-hop robots. So, you know...
Yeah, man. Let me tell you what, you know, it's just, this stuff is live, you know.
I don't know how they're talking, man, but there's people coming out of there, they're flipping out on all this jazz. And I don't want to get too heavy into this, but I just want to say one thing. We got to just get with it here a little bit, okay? Relax. You know, there's all kinds of Americans. They talk in all kinds of ways. They react in all kinds of ways. We have the urban black gangster type. We have the highly educated James Earl Jones type of black person. You know, we have the this is CNN. You know, we have we have the sort of the geek. You know, that guy that writes for the Washington. I mean, and the same thing with white folks. We have the hick Southerner. We have the New Yorker. We have the West Coast Valley girl. And all of these things, and while, of course, there's been this horrific history of lampooning the stereotype, lampooning black folks, and it's been hurtful, we got to kind of not get so crazy that artists can't even render a caricature without being labeled something that they're not. Now, look, if Jimmy DeGreek or whoever says, as they've often, you know, they can't swim. All right, now that's something that's just a flat-ass, dumb statement and reflects a warped thinking. But having a couple of robots talk like they come from Compton, I don't know that that's necessarily... They're robots.
Robot? Well, where do they build them?
I don't know. Maybe they build them in Compton. Remember that robot in 2001?
Uh-uh.
Well, there was a robot in 2001. His name was Hal. Hi, Dave. He sounded about as flaming as Perez Hilton.
Are you kidding me? Now, you know that one?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. You talk about Hal.
Yeah, Hal sounded like Perez Hilton. Hi, Dave.
Oh, well, no way, man, no way. I love that movie very deeply. And I never, ever thought Hal was a gay bot. Never, never, never.
I mean, gay bot.
Well, like you say. You say it's a gay bot.
I never called him a gay bot, but I guess... But if you listen to 2001, when I watched that movie, one of the reasons why I don't really like the movie anymore, because I'm against gays... No, I'm not. I just... the movie's dull for me, but now I've noticed... Hi, Dave. I'm Hal. And he's like, open the pod bay doors, Hal. No, I'm not going to. And it began to get just a little light, you know? It disturbed me. So I put my hands over the ears of my children and ran from the theater screaming. All right.
I find it offensive for any actor to pretend to be a stereotypical black. It's wrong. It's very wrong.
What about you?
What do you mean, what about me? I'm black. I'm always black. I've always been black. I'll never not be black. I'll be black tomorrow. I'll be black the next day. And the next day after that. Now next week, I can't guarantee. I might lighten up a little bit. But
get out of here, will you? Change's urge to rule on condo.
Hey, man, I was just going to talk about the black exorcisms, but it's all right. I kind of agree with you. I think Americans are really sensitive these days.
No, you can talk about the gay exorcism.
Oh, sure. I was just saying there's a lot of fallacious ideas that come out of religion. frequently, and as a strong Christian myself, this doesn't seem pretty legit. You know what I mean? It's horse dung.
Yeah, it's horse dung. It's that. What, are you kidding me? Are they gonna drive the gay demon out?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no such thing as gay demons. You know, there's just so much false testimony that comes out of even Christians.
I want to ask the young man a question. Can I ask the young man a question?
Robert wants to ask you something.
How you know? Are you religious? You raised in religion?
Sorry, what?
I said, were you raised in a religion? You raised Christian religion.
You raised up.
Yeah. Now, you don't believe that you don't believe in a gay ghost.
No, sir, I don't. I don't believe in
that. Right. There's a lot of that stuff, man.
What do you mean a gay ghost, man? I mean, this is a reflection of just a extremely ancient, early American hellfire kind of religious shamanistic ritual, man. And it doesn't have any reflection on anything. I mean, if anything, maybe the shock treatment of being exercised, maybe that'll scare the gay out of the guy or something for a few weeks. But, you know,
not a sharp one to believe that.
So. Yeah, I think you need to be really steeped in that old time religion, man. And even in America, you know, we still have religious ritual that's rooted in real ancient beliefs, you know, in exorcism. And besides, those guys sounded Baptist to me, and I think they need a priest, because the demon will only respect a priest.
Not a gay demon. Gay demon ain't gonna, because a gay demon know the priest is gay.
I'm kidding around about that. I think it's a shock treatment more than anything else, Daniel. So I agree with you, brother. All right? Thanks for calling us tonight, man. There's Daniel here in Seattle, Washington.
Well, no, wait. Just follow my reasoning on this, okay?
Oh, okay, Professor.
But really, if it's a gay demon and a priest come in, they'll never not be respectful of it.
You know, you got a good point, because the priest's gay and the demon going to go, ha, look at that, a gay man. Try to drive me out, man? What, you want to drive the gay out of here so you can hang, you can, like, go to a club with me?
Yeah.
Are you listening to yourself, man?
What?
Are you going to drive the gay demon out of that guy so you can go to a club with me?
That, you don't know how he talk. And for you to say that what you said about early religion, that black people only had that to hang on to. That's all they knew. And they had nothing more. And if they want to drive the gay out on a Friday night, because they have nothing to do, they can't go into town, can't go into a white restaurant, can't go into a white bar. And the only thing they have to keep them happy is to hang out on a Friday night and drive the gay out of a man. And that was a lot of what they've done.
Well, I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? I'm black. I know.
I don't give a crap if you're black. So they had nothing better to do on a Friday night than to hang around and drive the gay out of a guy because they couldn't get into white restaurants.
You can't laugh at that. You don't know.
Both of you guys are homophobes. Get out of here.
You'll see.
Yeah, there's nothing for me to see.
You believe a straight ghost?
Get out of here with a straight ghost. On a Friday night, they had nothing better to do than to hang around and drive the gay out of a guy because they couldn't get into white restaurants. All right, so what did I say? I don't know, man. Let me do this story, because I was going to do the thing about the condominium. Get out of here, Barney, with this bull crap, man. Why do you got to treat every single solitary thing in America like the sky? I know we got a bad economic situation here, okay? It was getting people into these loans that caused this crisis in the first place. One of the things that caused it. Now Barney is saying, we got to get people into those condominiums. Got to get them into the condominiums. Got to loosen up the restrictions. Loosen up the restrictions. Wait a minute, man. Loosen up the restrictions? What the hell do you think we've been talking about for the last 8-9 months? We got to tighten stuff up. He's afraid that condominium complexes that have been built are going to go under because they don't have any tenants, they don't have any buyers, so he wants to loosen the stinking restrictions up. That's not what we've been talking about. What page are you on? What book are you reading? You're a good man, Barney, but you got two problems. Number one, you don't listen to anybody. You just blah, 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 blah. Any question that challenges you, you believe is a personal insult, and then you go into defensive mode. You don't see the wisdom in anybody else's statement, only your own. You got it all figured out. Every single solitary point that is brought up that is counter to yours, you feel the need to address even if you're wrong, because you can't stand being wrong. So you're always right. You don't shut up. And the worst, you know, treatment is, you know, when O'Reilly, you pissed O'Reilly off that he was just screaming and yelling. I thought he was going to come through the TV screen and strangle you with one of your Jerry Garcia ties, man. You almost died that day, Barney. You could have died. That's right. I saw you and I saw O'Reilly and he was getting hot. And even though you were in two different cities, I think O'Reilly was ready to go through the fiber optics, through the very, very small lines that connected the two of you, go out the other end through the lens of the camera and beat you like a protester in Bacta Devonta Square, whatever the hell that thing that's, those poor people, with a hatchet. All right, before we go to the stories we couldn't get to, I can't believe that this continues. Actually, I can believe, because you know what? This is the only thing these guys have got, and they're going to keep pounding this thing until the day is done. The editor of the World Net Daily, the editor and chief executive officer, Joseph Farah, is offering a $10,000 reward to anyone who can prove he or she was present at the birth of Barack Obama. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a classic example of when we were talking about the empirical method of discovering truth. This is a classic example of an idiot that were he to apply that, he knows that he would never be able to prove that Barack Obama wasn't born in America. So he's taking the opposite. He wants to prove that he wasn't born in America. So he's saying he's offering $10,000 to anybody who can prove that they were present. Now, he knows the likelihood of that is slim to none. And so then he says, because there's no takers and there's no proof, aha! No one actually saw Obama born in this country. One more question that is not answered. He knows his mother is dead, so she can't vouch for it. His grandmother's gone, can't vouch for that. Barack Obama claims to have been born in Honolulu, explains Farah, as he sat there with his thumb parked up his rear end. His entire constitutional claim to the presidency rests on this premise, yet he refuses to release a copy of his long-form birth certificate, the only document that could possibly corroborate his claim. Therefore, in the interest of truth, justice, and the Constitution, no. There's nothing constitutional about that, and I'd like to know what other president produced a long-form birth certificate to prove his birth. I want to know, and I want to know now, because unless you can tell me that other presidents had to produce the kind of proof that you're asking for, Mr. Farah, then Mr. Obama doesn't have to do the same thing. He doesn't have to do anything that you're saying because no other damn president had to do it. Well, there's serious questions. No, only in your mind. And if you want to go back and look at the evidence, there might be serious questions about every last cat that was ever president of the United States about where he was born, if he was born. Well, you know, and the logic of what I'm saying is lost on a lot of people. I'm telling you right now that this guy, because most of the people that read the World Net Daily are imbeciles, blithering imbeciles, bordering on almost mentally retarded, that he can get away with this. See, nobody came forward and got the $10,000, so that must mean that Barack Obama was born on the moon. No, it just means that a lot of the people that were present at his birth aren't around anymore. Oh, yeah, easy to say. No, not really. I mean, yeah, you're right. It is easy to say because his mother's dead. We got the death certificate. Or don't you believe that? Maybe she's a vampire. Obama steadfastly refused to release evidence of that Hawaii birth. Obama, I should say, has steadfastly refused to release the evidence that Farah wants, the evidence that these other jackasses want. Obama has produced the evidence that other presidents have produced, and he's not about to do anything more than that, and he shouldn't. You know, I've been resisting for the longest time talking about but we did say it before the election. I said, it was the question you shouldn't ask, and I'll never forget it. We said, how long before race returns to the table in however veiled a form, how long before that returns to the table as the Obama presidency, moves through its first few months? And I believe that this is racial. I'm sorry. I believe it's racial. And I haven't brought these things up. Other people have talked about the racism against Obama. I haven't seen it personally. But this thing is a bald-faced, racist-motivated effort. He's black. He was traveling across the, he was traveling in Asia as a kid. He's born in that weird-ass state out there, Hawaii. You know, that's almost Japan. Forget about that. He's all messed up, man. We got to find out exactly where this guy's from. Oh, you know what? McCain was born down in the Panama stinking canal, and they made about 2 seconds of an issue out of that during the campaign, and that was the end of that, and nobody was screaming and yelling all the way on up to election day about that one. And we have evidence of other people that ran for president whose mothers were born in other countries, fathers were born in other countries, other presidents who were born in other countries. But only Barack Obama is the guy that's got to produce the long-form proof, because Joseph Farah at the World Net Daily, which is a joke of a news service, and I had to alert everybody on my staff, we don't use WND material because World Net Daily is a joke. It's not a news service. It's a propaganda service. And this guy Farah is offering 10 G's. On top of everything else, you're one cheap creep, you know that, man? I mean, that's worth about 100 grand as far as I'm concerned. And if you get that price up, I'll come in and tell you I was there. I was 9, but I was there. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Was you there?
No, I wasn't there.
Phil Henry.
I want to get back to Jay Goat.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
And time for the stories we couldn't get to tonight here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. In Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, police in suburban Philadelphia say a man, weary of children playing in his cul-de-sac, blared a pornographic soundtrack to chase them off. Michael Buck faces a felony obscenity charge and two misdemeanors for the alleged May 31st stunt at his upscale Phoenixville home near Philly. Irate neighbors told police they could hear the sexually explicit audio a block and a half away. The 27-year-old Buck has a preliminary hearing scheduled for next month. He does not have a listed number, and his lawyer declined to comment. Detective Tom Goggins says Buck had filed one previous complaint about the neighborhood children. He says they clearly annoy Buck, but adds there's nothing criminal about children playing outside. Imagine that. A monkey urinated on Zambian President Rupai Banda as he spoke to reporters outside his state house offices on Wednesday. "You've urinated on my jacket," a startled Banda told the monkey, one of many that makes their home in the trees outside his office. "I will give this monkey for lunch to Mr. Sata," he joked, referring to opposition leader Michael Sata, who Banda defeated in last year's elections. Banda devoted much of his second news conference as president to reassuring Zambians over the dramatic economic slowdown resulting from plunging prices for copper, the country's main export. "Our growth prospects have diminished such that the projected gross domestic product has now been revised downwards to 4% or below. This reduction has implications for the domestic revenues with both cooperate and income taxes likely to reduce," Banda said. And then the monkey urinated on him one more time. A woman pled no contest last week to prostitution charges, accused of agreeing to be paid for services with a box of chips by a man who said he was a Frito-Lay employee. Get it? Frito-Lay? Anyway, Lahoma Sue Smith, age 36, was ordered to pay a fine of $1,142 in municipal court from charges from the February arrest. According to the police report, undercover officers noticed Smith trying to catch a date by flashing her headlights at Southeast 33 and Robinson. Officers said they followed Smith's car and found her with her blouse open and a man in the passenger seat pulling his pants up. The man told police he was having marital problems and knew he could pick up a prostitute there. Smith told police the man told her he was looking for company, but he didn't have any money, so she agreed to be paid with a $30 case of Frito-Lay chips he had in the back of his car. When asked if she had ever been arrested for prostitution, Smith told police, yes, two or three times. Those times, they pulled out big bags of potato chips and Hawaiian punch. But this time, I'm joking, Smith was arrested on complaints of prostitution and suspicion of driving with a suspended license. The man was not arrested. Why? Why is that? I don't understand that. Why was this guy not arrested? Why? Because he paid with Frito-Lay chips? So in other words, that's not prostitution? I don't know. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and by the way, what city is this? Because I happen to have a case of Fritos in my car.
Well,
the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences announced Wednesday that the Oscars this year will expand the number of Best Picture nominees from 5 to 10. Oh, goody. After more than six decades, the Academy is returning to some of its earlier roots when a wider field competed for the top award of the year. President Sid Gannis announced Wednesday at a press conference in Beverly Hills. The final outcome, of course, will be the same, one Best Picture winner, but the race to the finish line will feature 10 movies. Because, quite frankly, we need to get more in the running because the flicks are getting worse and freaking worse. The move is an obvious response to discussion concerning recent omissions. The Dark Knight, more art house-style films such as The Reader and animated movies like Pixar favorite Ratatouille and WALL-E. Physics discussion ends in skateboard attack. Dateline, South San Francisco. A homeless man on trial in South San Francisco's San Mateo County on charges that he smacked a fellow transient in the face with a skateboard as the victim was engaged in a conversation about quantum physics. Jason Everett Keller allegedly accosted another homeless man, Stephen Fava, on the 200 block of Grand Avenue in South San Francisco at 1:45 in the morning on March the 30th. At the time, Fava was chatting with acquaintance about quantum physics and the splitting of atoms, when Keller walked up and smacked him in the kisser with a skateboard. Keller, who'd been a part of the Manhattan Project and knew about splitting atoms, and had since fallen on hard times and taken up professional skateboarding, thought the man's theories were basically flawed and beat him with the skateboard. I'm kidding, the guy wasn't with. Anyway, our show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.